Well, it's a real pleasure to welcome Mike Brand and Diane Wilcox from the Wharton Center. Mike is executive director, and Diane is the director of marketing and communications. And you've unveiled a new opportunity for visual expression and part of your mission. So why don't you tell us about it?
Great. Well, we moved forward with a process starting really a few years ago, but really intensely over a year ago now, with actually an MSU alum who out of Profit, which is a company out of Chicago and in other cities internationally, but we worked with Eloy Trevino. And he came forward with a proposition to us to work on our branding as a pro bono project for the corporation. So moving forward, we really examined ourselves as Wharton Center, who we are as part of the MSU community, who we are in terms of Michigan, and what we would like to do and be and represent. It was a really interesting process because as we went through it and we started talking about the fact that we really feel like we exist to inspire the mind and move the soul, and we really, our biggest intention is to try and enrich people's lives and to share our stories together, we also started looking backward as well at some of the language that both the Whartons and the Mackeys used when the Wharton Center originally opened, and we found that we came full circle in terms of both our intention of who we would like to be and who we actually were intended to be when it was founded. Yeah. So it was a really interesting process. And so we're trying to move forward with that we're really about telling our stories, making Wharton Center personal into people's lives, and sharing their stories on our stages. So we really are about celebrating what makes us different and connecting ties between people.
Why don't you say a little bit about the Wharton Center as it's part of it's obviously in the center of campus, performing arts center, but how does it stack up against other kinds of performing arts centers? What do you do that's the same? What do you do that's different?
Well, a lot of similarities in the programming, of course. We try and get, you know, the national Broadway companies, which we're successful at, and we seem to always find landing in the routes between Cleveland, Detroit, and Chicago, or Minneapolis. So we've been pretty successful at that, and the acoustics of the hall really suit classical music well. We just had the Moscow State Symphony twice now in the last 4 years, and the whole orchestra loves the Wharton Center. It's one of their favorite halls to play in the United States. So it suits a lot of the artists that we bring in, you know, top jazz, dance companies. But I think one of the real distinctive qualities of the center is its Institute for Arts and Creativity, because it's 50% of it's connected into about five different colleges here. We co-create programs that not only serve the campus, but it also helps a number of deans recruit some of the top students in Michigan, but it also serves students all throughout Michigan. Three of our programs now draw from all over the state. It's our fourth year now of the Sutton Foster Ovation Awards.
I think it's our fifth.
It's our fifth year. And we just got into the fall, and we're already sold out on nominations from high schools all over the state. So we have 50 or 60 kids on our stage, and now high schools are calling us, wanting us to send our adjudicators out for a little lesser fee and judge their musicals to see where they rank. So, you know, in our 5 years, we've had winners from all over the state go to New York. And last year, the male candidate, a student from a private school in Macomb County, mm-hmm. was one of the eight finalists in New York City. So it was when they announced from the Sutton Foster Awards in East Lansing, Michigan, the Wharton Center, the whole Minskoff Theater was screaming. So I don't know if they really like this guy or whether they were Spartan fans. But so we're pretty happy with the Institute. It's a very different education program because it sources creativity, and the curriculum is designed by our faculty and the artists. And we raise money and manage it and help develop things. So that's really a unique quality.
And you get awards for having a lot of ticket sales in terms of the volume mm-hmm. of people who come to the Wharton Center for a variety of events, and really from all over the state and from very different kinds of backgrounds.
That's true. It's we've been ranked in the top 100 in North America now for a number of years, even during the downturn, because we're always trying to get a mega hit here. So those always add, you know, 70,000 to 90,000 tickets. But I really think a lot of it's Spartans that are living throughout the state of Michigan. And then we do the tri-state in southern Canada when we do big shows. And I think they just want to come back home and spend a weekend here. There are more going to sports that we just don't know about it. But they when you start talking to them in donor lounges and in interviews, we use a lot of these samplings of donors and administrators and some faculty for this research project Diane was talking about with the Prophet Company in Chicago. And they do that. They come here and they'll go to a Friday night Broadway show and stay for a game, whether it's football or basketball. So, you know, some of the goals that we set 5-6 years ago are happening. We're just uncovering how many people now are actually, you know, in the process of booking themselves that way.
One of the recent activities I had an opportunity to see is the, and I love when units on campus that are not traditionally thought of as academic in nature engage in academic missions and bringing in high school students and putting them through a pretty comprehensive and short program in the arts and theater, and hearing the student from Williamston that came forward and had an unbelievable experience was represented. That program was just amazing.
Yeah, that's our Shakespeare Immersion Program in partnership with the Stratford Festival in Canada. And we bring those teaching artists in, those professionals, and they work with those students all week long, actually during the school day. And they're just completely immersed in the text, and they're learning everything about Shakespeare from the basics of the language to the culture in which he was writing and how that relates to our culture today. And then at the end of the week, they do a recital on stage. And these are not theater students. These are students from all kinds of disciplines in their high schools. And they have to be nominated and sign a contract that they're going to spend the week working on this and still get their homework done and still keep their grades up. It's an extraordinary program.
And you could tell listening to the student, it was life-changing. Yeah. I mean, his life was changed by this program and where he's going to go and the confidence that he developed was amazing to watch.
Yeah, he's really quite a young man. I do have to say something here, though, that Mike omitted from President Simon's initial question in terms of our sales. We are number one in the Big Ten, which I think is a really important thing to say for university-based performing arts centers, as well as for our size being in the top 10 consistently, according to Venues Today, every single year.
Another unique feature is everyone views shows in different ways, and some are challenged with the lights and the sounds that Broadway productions bring. There are ways to go about presenting these, not inexpensive to do so, but to change the format of what's being displayed. And then go beyond the boundaries of that and make sure our community is part of that process. Make sure our restaurants and hotels that perhaps would be servicing individuals to come and watch these shows from across the state and, frankly, across the country. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you're referring to our sensory-friendly performances, and we're really excited to put together this series, and we want to launch this for years and years and years to come. And these are performances at which people with ASD, both children and adults, can attend without any sense of judgment. They're very, very welcome. It's a judgment-free zone. It's really all about accessibility and having the opportunity to watch a show. And folks with ASD, sometimes they have issues, as you say. I'm sorry, autism spectrum disorders. Yep. Yeah, people with ASD and the developmentally disabled, people who may have expressive disorders like Tourette's syndrome.
Right.
It's also really great for some folks with cerebral palsy because at these performances, the lights never go fully black, nor do they come fully bright. You can see each other in the audience as well. We try to take away the element of surprise and anything really harsh in terms of sounds and lights and all of that. And we also surround it with a support system so that there are activities available for folks who can't stay in the theater for an entire performance, or if they need to get up, walk out, come back in. We also have available to them quiet rooms where they can just go and dial down and just shut everything out. We've got weighted blankets. We have quieter activities. We have professionals on hand, and they are from primarily MSU itself. We are collaborating with MSU units all over campus. We're working with RAIND, which is the, I always have difficulty with this, so I may need help. So this is the Research in Autism, Intellectual and Neurodevelopmental Disabilities.
Right.
Thank you, ma'am.
We had to get everybody in the acronym.
Yep. But they have been extraordinary. It really is through RAIND that we've reached out into and collaborated with other units. We've got College of Education directly involved. We've got the Autism Lab. We're working with the Child Development Lab. We have representatives from osteopathic medicine, human medicine, all supporting us in our endeavor. And what we're trying to do is to offer these performances. We've already done one, which was a family performance of The Cat in the Hat. Mm-hmm. In the spring, we'll be doing Clementine the Musical. And then what you're referring to, the Broadway shows, our first Broadway performance, sensory-friendly performance, is this summer, July 21st, with Disney's The Lion King.
Yep.
And knowing that The Lion King, traditionally, when we do host it, draws from actually not just from all over Michigan, but also northern Ohio, northern Indiana, sometimes from Illinois and Canada, we really wanted to make sure that these families on the spectrum, with folks on the spectrum, were welcome and comfortable. So we approached Greater Lansing Convention and Visitors Bureau, and they jumped on board immediately. They were very, very excited. And so through them, we're putting together Lansing Welcome Weekend. And so this will be specifically offering opportunities, both activities, events, and welcoming environment in hotels, in restaurants. Impression 5 is involved. On campus, we have a variety of other folks involved. Lansing Art Gallery is involved. And all of these folks are going to undergo training so that they understand how to work with people with ASD, how to welcome families, how to not be judgmental, and how to deal with crisis situation if there is one, so that when these families come, they know that the people around them know who they are, what they're about, and how to react to them. And so, and how to be fully supportive. And so we're really excited about the level of support that we've received.
It's a great opportunity. And also, some of these activities are all happening in other communities around the state. Grand Rapids and Traverse City would be two that the Wharton Center has a footprint in that's growing.
It is, and we spent 9 years now in both those cities, and we're starting to see a lot of sunshine on both projects. But there's a lot of clouds in the middle of it. But and they're basically good business platforms for us to extend Michigan State and what the Wharton Center does throughout the state. And I think starting next season, we're going to start expanding Disney Musical in the Schools program, which we have the license from Disney to do in Grand Rapids and in Traverse City. And we're hoping to host the Sutton Foster Ovation Awards in Wharton Center 1 year and the next year in DeVos Hall, to really make this a Michigan award, which it is. We have the license for that award, and we include the Nederlanders in Detroit, Broadway, Grand Rapids, and the Wharton Center, and we raise all the money to pay for it. But it is a Michigan thing, and everybody looks at this as a Michigan State Wharton Center project, which is, you know, what we want to have happen. And the business platforms, it took a while to turn around, but I do think some of the qualities of the cities in Michigan, they like their own cities to do their thing. It took a while to get used to us coming in, but in Grand Rapids, with a huge presence of the medical industry and other colleges, this just went along faster in developing the business relationship. We did have to turn the attitude of the community around, because they had some pretty bad shows for about 20 years. But now finally it's got the attention of the industry. So we're kind of a two-city business right now. So we're kind of enjoying that part.
And the Opera House in Traverse City is a very different venue. It doesn't support Broadway.
Right.
But gives us an opportunity to work with them in a very historic place to augment the arts there. So you talk about a business plan, but you know, the culture and the arts in any city, in any community, is a mixture of university support, which you have, but also entrepreneurship. That entrepreneurship comes in the form of philanthropy, and also in the form of finding partners to help support a variety of activities. So it's a very complicated balancing of getting the breadth of programs that fewer people would come to, along with Broadway that lots of people want to come to, sponsorships, all the kinds of things. So you and Mark Hollis are kindred spirits in this space of philanthropy and entrepreneurship and sponsorship.
Thank you.
One of the other things I'm always interested in is, and I'm not going to waste my shot asking this question, is how you go about getting shows in specifically. I think everyone's excited to see Hamilton making its arrival into East Lansing, and why here? Why would Hamilton come to East Lansing?
Well, you know, I know
the answer to that question, but I want to hear.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all about the community, too. We just had the company production stage manager, which is the artistic, you know, decision maker on the road, talked to our Ruby Circle level donors yesterday, and he said gave us a rundown of the load in and the process and all the rehearsals they do, because they have 8-hour days during the day. They just don't do 8 shows. But he said the cast and the crew here are so happy. They all walk around with their smile because the Wharton Center is one of the most accessible roadhouses, which is what they call theaters on the road. Mm-hmm. And we redesigned it that way when we redid the theater in 08, so it could be that way. But he said they just have their dressing rooms. They have showers. They have hot water in them. They have a door that closes. The crew loves the space because there's plenty of room for everybody. We actually have 2 different productions going on. And he said the party, opening night party, the accommodations, most of the cast and crew get that 1-week membership at the MAC or at the U Club Spa. Mm-hmm. And they just love the community. And they also like our audiences. Our audiences get shows. They laugh at them. They really love the kids. They see them all at downtown. And they like being on a campus where there's a lot of young people. So it's a unique experience that they can have a theater that's so well built and designed and have a community where they feel like they can be a part of it right away. So they're always, you know, surveyed, and we come up with really high marks with our orchestra that we provide, our crew, our community at large, and they really like being on the campus of Michigan State. And oddly enough, there are a lot of pictures of our coaches, especially Coach D'Antonio and Coach Izzo, in dressing rooms all throughout Broadway,
right.
Because the people have become more of a fan of us. And I get emails from students I don't even know, and people that produce shows. When we beat Michigan, they say, hey, go at it. You know, you get all this Spartan cheer. But it's about our family here in general. You know, we have to be in New York and get there and see these shows, like right now. Like all the shows that are opening, we have to be out there and say we want to put a hold on so that we get these.
Well, I hear all those good things, and they are all true. I think a big factor of why shows like to come here so much is you, Michael Brand.
And, I would agree with that.
And the love and the appreciation you have for a show before it becomes popular, that you're there on the infancy, and you're helping them develop. It's easy to say, I want to have Hamilton come to my Broadway center now, or
right.
my performing arts center now. Mm-hmm. But you were part of Hamilton before Hamilton was Hamilton. And I think when they see those relationships, that's the connecting point of, it's not a building, it's Michael Brand leading an amazing staff, delivering something to our community that's just such a great asset.
Well, thanks, Mark. But you're right, it is the team. They know our team. And they trust us, and it's about relationship building. It's no different than what you're doing with coach and player, doctor, patient, lawyer, client. It's a one-on-one business, and I deal with the producing level, and Diane with all the marketing companies that are all over the United States that we have to always keep happy and stuff. And quite frankly, you know, I did a huge battle to get 2 weeks of Hamilton, and then after we finished a record-breaking 4th visit of Wicked this last year at a 98% sale, the manager of the show called up and said, you guys want 3 weeks? I said, yeah, we want 3 weeks. And then they took it out of the academic calendar for us, which was better to do it at the end of May and June, because that gives all the colleges all the weeks they need to fulfill their curriculum requirements, which is a move we made about 5 years ago, which really helps the kids out when they can be in the hall the whole week.
Yeah. I think that it is Michael came, we had this conversation about the role with the Broadway Guild and how Michigan State needed to be a very active participant in that, and he was willing to do it. But it was unusual for universities to take that kind of role.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So having great trust in Michael and his judgment and the fact that we needed to be a part of what might turn out to be winners as well as losers in the world of the arts, but it gave us an opportunity to bring the best of the performances to East Lansing in time frames that were very soon after opening on Broadway. And it's really been, it is a credit to Michael and his relationships, and those are getting nurtured in really very positive ways. And Hamilton, though I did ask for a cast change in Hamilton, I just want you to know, I'd like Jonathan to come.
I'd like Jonathan to come, and I'm practicing all of the songs the king sings, so we'll see what happens.
We're looking forward to that, Mark.
There will be two touring productions, and you know, maybe we can do that.
Because one of our alums is playing George Washington in, yeah, you know, in
Jonathan Kirkland
in the production in Chicago, and so I said to him, "Well, when something's nearby, do you just come over and can you trade for parts?" Like, you know, like actors can say, "Well, I want to do that one for a while over there," because, you know, he told me that these were very rigid systems and to find staffs and casts, and that would be very difficult.
It's always fun to see the crossover between the arts and athletics, and Jonathan was at our men's basketball game in Chicago screaming at the top of his lungs, and I told him, "I won't tell your producer you're behaving like this because I don't think he wants your voice to go out," but it was...
We met him. Your wife, Nancy, grabbed Diane and I out of the government relations box that day, and we met him and his wife and their beautiful little daughter.
Right.
What a cute little baby.
Yes. I think that's really fun, though, that, you know, Mike's been in the Broadway world for however many years. I've been in the Broadway world for 17 years now, and we meet Jonathan Kirkland through the athletic director of MSU, right, as opposed to through one of our Broadway connections. Right. I just thought that was great.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. We're big fans of you guys.
We had him back as a Young Alum Award, so that's really reconnecting. Had a chance to talk about his experiences at MSU as a student. And I think he represents the making dreams bigger part of Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. We had him back to campus, and he had an opportunity to go to football practice, basketball practice, and then band. And as he's addressing the band, he looks over and sees his choir director from when he was a student. And that moment was one you just can't even describe. It's always fun to see people come back to campus and reconnect with all those points. So.
And we appreciate the way you permit people to connect to campus through the Wharton Center.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.